I'd like to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're using one of our pew Bibles this morning, you will find 2 Corinthians chapter 8 on page 1123. 1123. And once you get to 2 Corinthians 8, I'd like to ask you to place a marker of some sort in your place there so you can turn back to it quickly in our scripture reading. And then when you've marked your place there, turn back just a couple of pages probably to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And so we'll read verses 9 and 10 of Galatians chapter 2, and then we'll return back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and also chapter 9. We are very happy to join in what is Mission Fest Manitoba every year, and we do so with many, many churches in Manitoba, as well as missions organizations, both large and small. And this has been going on this weekend as we've been announcing the last number of weeks here at Bethesda. As you've already seen and heard from the video earlier in our service, and also Saxon and Haley's testimony, we are happy this year to highlight the ministry and the mission of Compassion Canada. We have our very own Compassion Canada representative in Patty Poirier. Where is Patty? There she is. There's Patty. So she is a resource to us on a regular basis. And then we have back here at the table Rachel, who is not of our congregation, but she is a representative of Compassion. And after Bill's message and after we close our service, you'll want to go back there and see some of the resources. And you can actually sign up this morning to sponsor a child somewhere in the world. And Rachel has a number of options there for you. We also, as a family, have sponsored a Compassion child for about 8 years now. I heard Saxon's reference to a concert. It was also a concert that introduced us to Isabel from Peru, and we have been supporting her through Compassion ever since. And the thing I like and appreciate most about Compassion is that it partners with local churches on the field to bring help and hope to the people right there in their community. And I think that's vital work that they do. And we are also delighted, as I've mentioned earlier, to have Pastor Bill Coleman and his wife Nancy with us here at Bethesda this morning. And they are representing, shock of all shocks, Compassion Canada. After over 30 years as a lead pastor and formerly a youth pastor, Bill's passion is to help as many people as possible discover a biblical theology of poverty. His personal experience with Compassion Canada has resulted in hundreds of sponsorships for which he gives God the praise. Bill and Nancy have 3 married children and 4 grandchildren, all living in St. Thomas, Ontario. How did you work that out? I don't know how you... I could only hope for such a blessing, right, as our kids grow up. Welcome here. We're glad you're here. And now I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer, and then we'll read our scripture. Father, thank you for this time in the ministry of your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, both from your words in Holy Scripture, recorded here to bring life and to bring help and wholeness to us, and also through Bill's words as he comes to speak in the name of Jesus. Speak to us now. Change us by the power of your word and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and then we'll move over to 2 Corinthians. James, Cephas and John, those esteemed as scholars, gave me and Barnabas, this is Paul speaking here, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Now turn over with me to 2 Corinthians, just a couple of pages back. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 9, and then we'll conclude our reading with chapter 9, verses 6 to 9. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Finally, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verses 6 through 9. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing the word of God. You know, it's a real privilege for me to be with you here. I've been looking forward to meeting you. As I told your pastor, about 30-some years ago, I actually was here before, not speaking, but as a guest. But I can't remember what it was for, but I know it's important. But I've really been looking forward to getting to meet you folks, and it's been a great pleasure already. So thank you so much for having us on this special day as we think about the poor and our responsibility as Christians to help them. As you heard, my name is Bill Coleman, and I am a more or less retired pastor from St. Thomas, Ontario, pastor for over 40 years, and I'm here with my wife of almost 50 years this September, and we have three married kids and four grandkids. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our fourth grandchild a little bit later, but for those of you who are trying to do the math, that makes me almost 69. And I know you're surprised. You thought this old guy had to be at least 82. But one of us did just recently turn 70. But Nancy doesn't want me to tell you who it was. Now, I'm close behind. But again, thank you so much for having us on this Compassion Sunday as we remember the poor. Some years ago, Nancy and I had a life-changing experience. We went on a mission trip to Honduras with Compassion Canada to visit sponsored children, and the poverty that we witnessed there, including our own sponsor girl and her mom that you see on screen, was literally stifling. And I came back as a pastor broken, in tears, about my lack of appreciation of how much good I could do if I just would. But I also came back with a pastoral goal to help as many congregations like yours as I could get another glimpse of what the teaching of Jesus and the apostles is concerning the importance to God of our remembering the poor. And so my prayer for you this morning is that you will get a deeper sense of God's heart and what he teaches in the scriptures about our responsibility to do whatever we can. And of course, since we're here with Compassion Canada, I really hope you'll become a sponsor too. And if you already are a sponsor, thank you so much. And maybe you would consider even sponsoring another child. See, here's my prayer request for today. My prayer and my hope is that everybody today goes home with a bigger family. That's what I'm praying for. But before we talk about how Compassion Canada can help us do that, I want to take a snapshot out of the life of Paul the Apostle on the importance to God of you and me remembering the poor. So what do we know about Paul? Well, we know that he, you know, from reading the New Testament book of Acts and the epistles, that he was a starter of churches in the first century following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also know that's not all Paul did. Paul also had a mission to encourage people like you and me to give financially, if they could, to help the poorest of the poor. And as we already heard in the scriptures this morning, Paul talked about it a lot. You see, as we read our New Testaments, we can unfold the life of the apostle. We understand his message, the glorious gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. We understand his methodology, how he went about doing his ministry, but we also can uncover his heart. We can uncover his personal attitude for helping the poor. For instance, when he was ordained to the ministry, the apostles Peter, James, and John, who we just heard read, gave him a mandate. And of course, that mandate would include preach the gospel, start churches, but they also told him to do something else. And here's what Paul said about that something else at this very important time in his life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul said, only they. Now, who is that? That's the original apostles, Peter, James, and John. You know, the ones in the little sailboat that we all heard about in Sunday school, the ones who walked with Christ. I mean, the original apostles of Christ said, they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was, key word for today, eager, the very thing I was eager to do. Well, later on, Paul devoted two whole chapters to the subject of giving to the poor, and we looked at a few verses in those chapters just a moment ago. These two chapters are in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And what was going on in those two chapters is Paul is comparing two attitudes about giving to the poor. One of which is eagerness, like his own. The other attitude is reluctance. And that word actually showed up. And so for you and me to appreciate like the tone of what Paul was writing, it's important to observe that in those two chapters that he was actually making a comparison between churches and church attitudes, or between Christians in general, to giving to the poor. The Corinthian church, to whom the letter is addressed, were pretty reluctant. That's the reason why he wrote the letter. They were needing to be prodded, like, get on with it, Paul said in another place. By comparison, on the other hand, we read about another group of churches who were in Macedonia. And here's how Paul described them. Let me read it to you again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Why? For, verse 2, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have, watch, overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Paul is saying, Corinthians out there, Corinthian Christians, my brothers and sisters in Christ, look at these Macedonian Christians as an example to follow. They, even under a severe trial, a severe test of affliction, and, keynote, extreme poverty, did what? Overflowed with a wealth of generosity. Now, why was that? Well, he already said so in verse 1, right? The grace of God was manifested in their abundance of joy. And so Paul is inviting the Corinthian believers who are hearing this at church to evaluate their own generosity in the light of the extravagant generosity of the churches in Macedonia, especially since the Macedonians were struggling with extreme poverty themselves. Think of that contrast, because Paul had told the Corinthians, you guys are rich, earlier in his writings to them. Here's what else Paul said about the Macedonians. I love these verses. Verse 3, they gave, who's that? The Macedonians gave according to their means. They were living in extreme poverty. Obviously, they didn't have much means. As I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, verse 4, begging us, pleading, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. I think this is one of the most convicting passages in the entire Bible on having that generous, eager heart that just throbs for the things of God. The Macedonians gave beyond their means. In other words, they sacrificed. And notice, it was not because of manipulation. It wasn't because of somebody coming around and leveraging guilt and making them feel awful about themselves. That's not what it says at all. It says that, as Paul said in verse 1, it was because the grace of God among them caused, the appreciation of the grace of God, caused an overflow of joy and understanding in their hearts. In other words, God gave them a heart to give. They had a want to. They were, like Paul, eager to give to the relief of the saints. Now, what strikes me, and every time I read this, it makes me feel convicted, and it challenges me, is they begged earnestly for the favor or for the privilege of taking part. You can almost imagine Paul said, what? You guys are living in shacks. No. We're going to look after you. And they're like, no, we want to look after the poor too. My wife and Nancy and I have had the privilege of visiting a lot of very, very poor places in the world. They're the most generous people you'll ever meet. They are way more joyful, way more generous than most of the people in my home church back in St. Thomas, Ontario, and with all the stuff that we have. So I really can identify what they're saying. But what strikes me when I read this is that they begged. Their attitude was not, like grumpy reluctance. It was clearly eagerness to do what they could. Well, foundational to all of Paul's teaching is one thing. You know what it is? The gospel. Always the grace of God, the eagerness of God, the extravagantly generous God that we have shown to us through Christ's death on the cross. And we see this in verse 9 that your pastor read just a moment ago. But let's take this verse apart a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Corinthians, you know the extravagant and undeserved generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Corinthians were Christian people, as Paul says in the first couple of chapters of his first letter. But he goes on to say, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Rich? Yeah, he was the second person of the Trinity, with all the resources of the Son of God in the universe. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Or as Philippians chapter 2 reminds us, he emptied himself, he humbled himself, he took on the body of a servant. Why? That he might die on the cross for our sins. For your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Now Paul here is referring to the riches of our salvation. Forgiveness of sin, promise of a hope in heaven, the ever-present ministry of the Spirit of God in our life. He's not talking about rich like God's going to give you a Rolls Royce, okay? So don't get me started on that subject. But anyway, that's not what he's talking about here. But what he is talking about is, guys, the point of these two chapters is be eager like Jesus in your giving to the poor. Like, sacrifice yourself. Make yourself poor for their sakes, just like our Savior did for us. Well, let's look at one more verse where Paul explains what he wanted the Corinthians to do, and we'll put this up on the screen. And then I'll share how compassion can help us be that person like the Bible is talking about, with an eagerness to help the poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 explains what Paul wanted the Corinthians to do. Now, here's what he said. Each one must give. Now, remember, these two chapters are all on collecting for the poor. Each one, it can be applied to other giving too, but each one must give. How? As he has decided in his heart, not, there's that word, not reluctantly, or under compulsion. You know, somebody's twisting your arm, making you feel bad about yourself. Why? Well, for God loves a cheerful giver. What we are witnessing here, church, are two different heart attitudes about giving to the poor. There's heart attitude number one, which is, like Paul, eager, just give me an opportunity because of God's extravagant generosity and his grace to us. And then there's heart attitude number two, which is reluctant, you know, having to be compelled and pressured and guilted into helping. And what we find in Scripture is that when it comes to giving to the poor, it's either number one, begging to help like the Macedonians, or number two, being begged to help like the Corinthians. And so what is God looking for from you and me? He's looking for a cheerful giver. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for that eager giver because, you see, that's who he is. And that's his motivation behind the grace or the extravagant generosity of the gospel. Well, with that as foundational to our theological thinking, let me share how Compassion Canada can actually help us be that eager, cheerful giver to the poor. One of the premises the Bible states elsewhere on giving to anything, is that those who are able to give are to give what they can. Because not everyone, even in a wealthier place, is able to give. Here in Canada, however, that's usually the exception. And I want to give you a couple of comparisons to show why that's true. For instance, there are countless tens of thousands of people around the world in desperate places who would just explode with happiness if they could immigrate to Canada. Now, we all know this. It's on the news all the time. Our church in St. Thomas is currently helping a Syrian family and integrate into our community. But let me go on to share a shocking statement. And then I'm going to qualify. So put your seatbelt on. They would love to immigrate to Canada and even become a homeless person. Let me explain. You're like, what? What kind of speaker is this? Wait till I talk to the pastor after the sermon. First of all, we certainly don't want anyone to move here and become homeless, and I'm sure nobody wants to move here and become homeless. The point I'm driving at is the difference between being homeless in Canada. And years ago, I used to be on the board of the Union Gospel Mission right here in Winnipeg, responsible for vision and for restructuring and things like this. And that was many years ago, before most of you were born. And so I know a little bit about homelessness. And Nancy and I used to live on Pritchard Avenue over in the North End for some years. But the difference between being homeless in Canada is so much better than what many other people in the world have, it would still be a gigantic step up here to move here and be homeless. Here, we have free medical care. There, they get sick and die. Here, our kids have free education. There, they don't, and they never get out of the cycle of poverty, and that's much more true for girls than it is for boys. Here, we have clean water. We don't even think about it. We just turn it on. And I bet you we all did that this morning without saying, God, thank you for clean water. Because we've become so accustomed to having it for ourselves. There, many of them are sick much of the time because of microbes and things like that. Here, we have hundreds of agencies, charities, government programs, and churches just like yours who can provide like housing, food, and clothing, and counseling, and on the list goes. And this week at Mission Fest, there's all kinds of organizations doing good and helping people in lots of ways. There, I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. They just don't have the resources to do that. And the reason we do is because we are an extraordinarily wealthy people.
So being homeless would still be a major step up for hundreds of thousands of people from other places. But what I think we Canadians like to do, we usually like to compare ourselves to that upper 1% of the super rich. You know, instead of viewing ourselves from how so many millions of people around the world look up to us and say, wow, if I ever could be as wealthy as those people are, you know, or have food to eat every day and so forth. One more comparison. To support a child with Compassion Canada costs $1.35 a day, which is equivalent to what? Well, it's less than a small Coke at McDonald's unless you get it in the summertime when it's only a dollar. It's less than one Tim Hortons coffee per day. Or if you like me, you love Starbucks, like I was at the Starbucks yesterday. It's about a tablespoon, okay? That's about what it is. $1.35 adds up to $41 a month. But because of the financial difference between countries, what can be done with $41 Canadian there? It's just so much greater than what we can do with it right here in Canada. So when you sponsor a child with Compassion, here's what the child actually receives from you. First of all, the most important thing of all, if you don't remember anything else I say today, this is the most important one about Compassion. The child gets personally connected to you. They will write you letters. You will write them letters. Your words and prayers to them are some of the most important influences they have. Like, I've met hundreds of these sponsored children, been in some of their homes, attended some of their churches, and I cannot overemphasize how important your personal connection to them can be. And so when you can visit the Compassion table in the back, you'll see pictures of children like this little girl right here who are young. She is 5 years old. Many of these children have no more idea about the $41 a month than our kids and grandkids worry about where the money comes from when we take them for an ice cream. My grandkids never ask, Granddad, you sure you can afford this? See, what they know is they got somebody that loves them, cares for them, and spends time with them. And that's the same thing with these sponsor kids. What they know is they have somebody who's writing them letters and encouraging them. And, of course, when they grow up and get a little bit older, they do figure out the financial part. Also, it's very important to know that Compassion is more than a holistic ministry providing day-to-day practical human help. It's 100% of all of that, but it's also a Christ-centered, gospel-centered, local church-based child development and child discipleship ministry, which is very intentional about helping the children appreciate the love of God for them, the love of their Savior, the same way your church does right here in your own children's ministry. The kids need more than practical help. They need hope in their hearts, which is what God promises through faith in Christ. And so as a result of our gospel ministry, think of this. Every 4 minutes, somewhere in the world, a child gives his or her heart to Jesus Christ through Compassion's careful day-by-day discipleship. One every 4 minutes. And we know from our records that at least 4 or 5 other members of that child's family will also come to personal faith in Christ through this everyday ministry. So here's what happens. Slide number 12. The children attend a church in their own neighborhood, which has a child compassion child development center. That center provides a range of help, including such things as educational tutoring, nutritious meals, emotional support, medical and dental care, occupational training, vaccinations, abuse prevention. Human trafficking, huge problem in these places, huge problem. Personal hygiene training. I mean, some of these kids don't even have a toothbrush, you know. In fact, I've been in homes where they had one toothbrush. Now think about the math. Everybody gets to share it. Hey, we're all one family, why not? And and it provides spiritual teaching for your particular child based on specific needs of your child in that particular community. And so all of this help is provided by Compassion's ministry in the child's home country by local people, nationals, who know the language, understand the culture, and know the best and most effective and efficient ways to minister to their own people. So the child goes down to the church in their neighborhood where the compassion ministry is located a number of days per week for all of these various programs. And so the sponsor's donation goes for all that programming and the associated costs with it. Now, by way of comparison, this is really huge to understand in the world of missions. If that community also needs development work, clean water, a bridge from one village to another across a river, mosquito nests, and so forth, what Compassion does, Compassion raises separate money for those kinds of programs and works with other organizations to meet those needs. So your donation, like your monthly sponsor's donation, actually goes to your child's individual development program in their local church. And so this morning, you have an opportunity to participate. It's not the only way to be a cheerful giver. There's lots of ways. It's one way. It's a great way. It's the way that Nancy and I have decided to spend our retirement to encourage people to get involved. And so for those of you who are considering sponsoring a boy or a girl, or maybe both, and expanding your family, you will find sponsorship cards like this one back on the table in the foyer with our volunteers. This is Rochelle. You can't see her, I know, from back there, but you can see her at the table. She's from the Dominican Republic, 5 years old, born July 17, 2011. Her full name is Rochelle Carolina Sanchez Polanco. And I guarantee you they're praying for a sponsor for her. By the way, we have so many different kinds of sponsors. This is one of the greatest things I love about doing this. We have children who mow grass, babysit, or save up their allowance to sponsor a child. We showed you the video about those people. One of those people in the video is a friend of mine who got sponsored by a teenager and totally changed his life. There are parents and grandparents who decide to sponsor a child for their own children or grandchildren. Why? Well, so they can help their kids appreciate what they have here and have a personal ministry, you know, to a child someplace else. Some families will sponsor a child for each one of their children, so each child can have their own child to kind of minister to throughout their life. And so there's lots of ways of doing that. Not long ago, we had an 88-year-old woman in one of our meetings sponsor a 7-year-old girl. She says she hoped to live long enough to see her graduate. And so I bring that everywhere I go to let you know that you should pray for her, that she's able to see that accomplished. We also have children who are older. Maybe their sponsor died, and they need another sponsor to replace that person, and they may need a sponsor for a shorter period of time. Some of our seniors like to do that. Sometimes friends get together. You know, two or three families get together and sponsor one child between them. What I'm saying is literally everyone can have a ministry through the poor, through compassion. And so, yes, you can take a child home with you today, as your pastor said, and yes, you can hang your picture on the fridge and start praying for them and writing to them and so forth. But before we close the day in prayer and song, I'd like to share how important, I'll do my best, I'm very emotional about this, how important sponsorship has become to my family. Nancy and I were with our son, Bill III, I'm Bill Jr., and his wife, Rebecca, when they saw their sponsor girl named Sri Lanka, who you see on screen. She's with her mom and sisters. As they were all hugging each other on a mission trip where you can visit your sponsor kids, you know, Nancy and I were standing across the room, like all the way from here back to the compassion table. It was a long way back, you know, to where they were, when Sri Lanka's mom looks across the room and she sees us standing there. She parts the crowd, comes trotting across the room, throws her arms around our necks, tears running down her face. She's jumping up and down as only people in that part of the world know how to do, you know. And we're like, what? You know, like, we were so surprised. Like, why would she want to hug us? But here's what happened. Our son and his wife sent her a family photo that we take at Christmas. And Nancy and I are in the picture, and she recognized us in the picture. So, you see, to her, we were like lifelong friends. You know, long-lost relatives. We were like sponsor grandparents. It was at that moment that I first realized the impact you can have as a sponsor. It's not just on a child. It touches their whole family who wants something so much better for their kids and grandkids, just like we all do. But there's more to the story, and this is the hard part to tell. What I have not shared is how important that family, who lives just outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, one of the most desperate places on the planet, would end up having on my family. You see, our kids, Bill and Rebecca, have a ministry to couples who are childless because of their own experience. It's been really hard. They had been married for many years and could not have a child of their own, but they sponsored many children through Compassion, one of which is Sri Lanka. Bill and Rebecca, and I have permission to share this, came to a crisis decision about 4 years ago to give up hoping for their own child. And the symbol to them was giving away the kids' stuff they had accumulated over the years. But literally, after our son Bill had a chance to go on a mission trip and meet Sri Lanka in person, out of the blue, her mom contacts him while he was there. She had figured out also that they did not have their own child. And she says she was praying that God would give them a child of their own. She said, don't give up hope halfway. This is right in the midst of them coming to a decision to just give up hope. They had been married 11 years at that time. They were so moved by her words, they decided not to give away the kids' stuff, keep hoping, keep praying. 6 months later was a trip that Nancy and I were on, a mission trip with Bill and Rebecca, and that's when we met them. And on that trip, she said the very same thing to our kids. And it put them on a pursuit to keep holding on to God. Well, 10 months ago, Bill and Rebecca had Allison, Elizabeth, Rosalyn Coleman. Why Rosalyn? That's Sri Lanka's mom's name. That mom living down in poverty who gave our kids hope, just like we gave them hope. More faith in this old senior pastor here to believe. I say, I believe this miracle would not have happened without the great faith and earnest prayers of that woman of God living down in Haiti. And when the family heard the good news down there, came Sri Lanka wrote a letter back wanting to know what her sister's name was. And what I'm sharing with you, church, sponsorship is such, with Compassion anyway, is so much more personal than just helping a child or even helping their family. Like, you never know the blessings that you will receive. For us, we receive one of the greatest miracles our family has ever experienced. And so may God bless you as you consider expanding your family today. May God bless you as you serve Him all the time, everywhere, and all you do to the glory of God alone, but always with, what's the key word? Eagerness, never with reluctance or the need to be compelled. Let's pray together. Father God, take our lives and let them be always consecrated completely to you. And today, Father, we thank you for the Word of God that speaks so powerfully to our own motivations. We thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the example of the Macedonians. Lord, it's almost impossible to imagine begging to give when you're living in extreme poverty. I've seen it myself, but we do thank you for their example. And Father God, now as the worship team comes back and our pastor comes to close, that you would continue to bless. We thank you for all the ministries that are going on in Mission Fest as we think about children at risk. And Lord, there's so many, many powerful organizations doing the work of God. And we thank you for all those who are here today, representing various agencies and organizations. And God, we just thank you. We have a way to, one by one, change this world you've given to us. And so we send each one to your blessing, Father, In Christ's name we pray. Amen.